much do you love your children? How far would you be willing to go to keep them alive? That's what we're going to talk about here tonight on Night Shift. And yes, I'm not John. I'm Eric, the assistant pastor to True Crime Tuesday, filling in for the late and great John, joined by Kendra J. Rama. Hit it, Deadleg.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours on Sunday.
This is
Sunday.
About the police officers who every single day put on that uniform and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
Guns up, giddy up. Welcome to True Crime Tuesday. Will Cray in the chat. We got a live show. It's a live production. Goes out on YouTube every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then drops audio quickly afterwards. But we got a live chat. A lot of people in the live chats here. A couple paid members. Cupcakes, Mer530, David J. Will Cray says he's falling asleep. Says the pre-workout's not kicking in. Try Coke, buddy. Try a little cocaine. Nah, you know what I mean? A little bump, a little toot. Maybe you're asking yourself right now, where is Jonathan? Where is he? Well, you guys left his chat. You left his live chat early. Daddy's mad. Daddy John is mad. So, no, I'm just kidding. Where is he? Is he on vacation?
Something like that. Some time I don't know. He's absconded.
He's absconded. He's no longer with us. No, they asked me about 2 weeks ago to fill in for today. And I had this story that I've been wanting to tell. So story time with Tansy kind of night. And it is the story of George Pickering III. And I love this story. This is a story about a man and a love for his father. As you guys know, I'm a father of 5 children, 1 wife, husband to 1, father to 5. How does it go in the Gladiator? Soldier to the one living king, Maximus Aurelius, you know, whatever, you know. Shit, I should have probably worked that out. It would have been a banger, honestly.
It would have been.
So I reached out to Kendra like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was like, yo, y'all should cover this case. And you were like, actually, Johnny's going out of town in a couple of weeks. You should do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess if you want me to, that'll be great. So it's going to be a really, really, this is a great case because it's important to me as a father. And I don't know how far I would go. I don't know what I would do in George Pickering's shoes. So I'm going to give you guys a story. And then I want to hear from the live chats at the end of the story of what you guys think about George Pickering. Was it justified? Was it unjustified? I mean, think about it objectively, not just like vigilante, like, cool, this would make a great movie, which they did make a movie, John Q. Even though they say it was not based on a true story, I bet you they kind of got the idea from this story. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know when John Q came out. This is a case out of 2015. But somebody in the live chat says, make Master Tansy great again. I don't know what that
Master means. Tansy.
But, I mean, was I not? Am I not great anymore? I don't know. But this is a really great story. But before we jump into it, tonight's show is brought to you by GhostBed.com/Wolfpack. We got Factor Meals, meal planning to the next level. Promo code /Wolfpack50. So that is FactorMeals.com/Wolfpack50. And then we've also got my favorite new sponsor, which is the Wellness Company, so that you got your meds whenever the end of days happens. They're pre-prescribed. They come right to you. So when the grid goes down, you don't have to face the zombies at Walgreens and CVS. You already have all your Z-Packs, your ivermectins and everything. So thank you. Big shout out to our sponsors. And then also Red Pill Threads. Here's a quick intro there. Red Pill Threads will be taking over Night Shift TSI. So it will now be Night Shift TSI brought to you by Red Pill Threads. And the two guys that run this company who have they're the ones that were getting us all the amazing guests. They also want to be into podcasting. And so they're going to start running Night Shift TSI. And I think they're going to do a great job out of it. Okay. Cupcakes came in. Says you work at Walgreens. Well, start stealing prescriptions now so that when the grid goes down, you don't have to face the people who are going. By the way, you're the first to die. When the grid goes down, all of the meth heads, all the addicts are going right for you. And they are going to shoot you right in the face and take everything. So...
Yeah, 100%.
Might want to stay up to date on the end of days. You know what I mean? Do you prep? Are you a prepper?
Me? Yeah. I'm actually sitting in a room full of non-perishables and first aid kits. And if I could show you,
you would be the girl that's like sucking on the canned pears.
I would be saving it as much as possible. I'd eat one a day, one pear a day. Yeah.
Like one half a pear. Did you remember the canned pear slices? Like you can't eat them without going. You know, because you're like, it's so gross watching somebody eat the canned pears. I remember being in the military and like it'd be like the middle of the night and you could hear somebody like in their bunk.
Are you sure that's what they were eating? Pears?
Probably not. Speaking of bad blowies, moment of silence for Sophia Leone, the porn star who was murdered this week. It appears that it was a murder, possibly a murder in the first degree. Could be second degree robbery. They don't know yet. But Sophia Leone murdered in her home this week. Are you up on that case at all?
I'm not. Tell me about it.
I mean, I'm a big porn guy, big porn fan. Listen, I'm just kidding. I'm not a big porn guy. I don't know much about Sophia Leone. I looked this picture up, and it looks like she's got a little Michael Obama in her. You know what I mean? You see the little dangler there? Does that not look like a, you know what I mean? Like a little punching bag down there?
I'm just going to reserve comment, I think, and I'm going to trust your assessment of that.
And it looks like maybe either it's a wiener or a beaver injection.
They do make injections for that, so it's possible.
They do. Have you ever seen an injected beaver?
Not in the flesh, no.
Let me see the pussy lips. I mean, why do you do it? Like, I mean, I don't know that I've ever been like, hey girl, let me see them pussy lips. They injected, you know what I'm saying? You're a girl. Has a guy ever approached you and been like, hey girl, let me see them pussy lips?
Can't say anyone's approached me on the street, but there's a lot of creeps online, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you any of those dating apps?
Unfortunately, I have ventured out.
Any of them ask your pussy lips?
Not yet.
Be my first question.
I'll keep you posted.
You got those injected pussy lips. But anyway, Sierra Leone, just look at that. She's got a porn face. You know what I mean? Mm. A face I want to look at type sitch. Sure. She's got a really nice face. Real nice landing pad there. But I don't know. Should I be making those kind of jokes, being that she's mated?
I don't know. We'll find out when the masses get pissed off, I guess.
But yeah, so very mysterious. And they haven't solved this case yet, so I'm not going to get into it. But really quick, from the New York Post. This is from the New York Post. So adult film star Sophia Leone has died after she was found unresponsive in her New Mexico apartment on March 1st as police investigate her cause of death. She was 26 years old, gone but not forgotten. Sophia was beloved daughter, sister, granddaughter, niece, and much, much more. I'm just kidding. It says in friend. Leone's stepfather, of course, can't be a porn star without a stepfather. Mike Romero wrote on a GoFundMe page set up to honor the actress. Why do you need a GoFundMe? Does the OnlyFans not keep collecting? I feel like there will be a lot more money coming in now that she's passed away.
Thoughts and prayers. Maybe. Yeah. I don't.
This is from the stepdad. She had a deep love for all animals.
That's nice.
She had deep love for something else too. Specifically her three pets and the three dudes that filled up each one of her holes on her last episode of. She enjoyed traveling and always found ways to make everyone around her smile. Yeah, she did. Yes, she did.
Oh my God. A mile later. Oh boy.
She's going to make me smile later. You can't talk about a porn star and then like me not going check it out.
Oh,
you
know what I mean? I understand. Yes. Curiosity. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Research.
Yeah. Now, seriously, hey, we're talking all about fathers. I mean, does a stepfather love his porn star daughter? I mean,
I mean, that's how that's usually how the plot lines go in those, right?
Oh, so you like maybe like a stepdad did some things and made her go into porn?
I don't know.
Is that what you're alluding to?
John is really good at putting words in my mouth every episode, and I see the theme is
I don't know. I don't know, man. Maybe. Oh, what if? No, I don't even. What if? I don't want to go down this road. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole. But what if? But what if somebody was going to be exposed?
It's happened before.
I think I'll get sued. Defamation of name or something of character. So I don't want to say who, but we don't know. We don't know anything about this case. Poor Sophia Leone, gone but not forgotten. Let me go to the live chats on this really quick. Eric is going full in. Sure. It's True Crime Tuesday. You guys know I'm a true crime sucker. Michael Hendrick says what she said. Tim Finman's got like a, maybe I went a little too far. Maybe I did. I don't know. Who's to say? Who's to say? Will Cray, how's the dating? Says Grab Bass, number 10. Listen, if Will Cray, I don't even know if I'd ask Will Cray about dating at this point in the live chats. We've known Will Cray long enough. We know that he's single. Will Cray, are you okay with Sophia Leone's passing away? Is this something that's close to you? Does this hit home close to you? And what are you going to do to honor her in the afterlife? So, Michael Hendrick says her cousin Sierra Leone isn't into head. Sierra Leone isn't into head. I can't make jokes about a moited porn star, but you know, listen, there's not too many ways out of porn. You know, that's one of them. So okay, I think you just kind of have to, you know, be cognizant of that. If you're in that world, there's very few ways out of it. You know, there's suicide. There's moita. And lots of mental issues and drug overdoses. So, you know, I mean, none of them are really good.
It's none of those true. Are
good ways out. So,
unless you marry
a rich. Airsoft Speedy in the live chat says stepbro killed her. I'm done.
Stepbro, no. Oh, no.
Stepbro, please don't murder my pussy. Murder me instead. Oh,
what's happening?
Is this how you guys do True Crime Tuesdays?
No, never. John never. Will be appalled.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm embarrassed, ruining it for everybody. All right, let's go on to this next story, and then we're going to jump into this very depressing True Crime Tuesday that I know you guys can't wait for. I'm actually really excited. I've been stewing on this case for 3 weeks. If you're tuning in for the very first time, just go ahead and skip to the 20-minute marker, and that's when this whole thing will start. But this is an important true crime case. So if you're a true crime junkie, I think you got to be looking at this one. John Barnett, the whistleblower for Boeing, found suicided just days before and after testifying in court against Boeing. So real quick on this story, John Barnett was employed by Boeing and he started coming out. Now this is recent. This was today. John Barnett, a former Boeing quality control manager from USA Today, was found dead over the weekend from what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound days after testifying about safety issues with the company's aircraft production. The 62-year-old had spent years speaking out against what he alleged were shoddy manufacturing practices at Boeing, where he worked for 30 years before he retired in 2017. Most recently, Barnett was in Charleston for legal interviews related to the lawsuit against the Arlington, Virginia-based company. And there's a lot on this. We're going to talk about a little bit tomorrow on the political news breakdown that we have coming up. But I mean, really not a good look for Boeing, even if it is a suicide. This is a dude that, you know, was calling out even as recent as the door blowing off the Alaska airline. I don't know. What do you guys think in the chats? I mean, his brother says that he was suffering from anxiety and from a lot of issues that were stemming from the Boeing thing. When I read his quotes and comments, what it kind of detailed to me was like something your lawyer doctored you to say, like, hey, this was a suicide. We need to make sure that we cover that it was a suicide based on what Boeing did and the anxieties that Boeing caused so that we get, so you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like if my brother commits suicide, I'm not coming to me and be like, well, he was really stressed out about whistleblowing on Boeing. I don't think I would, you know what I mean? I would be like, yo, my brother was testifying and now he's dead. Question mark. So, but what I've heard as of today, because this just hit the news yesterday, but what I've heard is that they are actually going to treat this as a criminal investigation, which it would blow the doors off of so many other suicides, quote unquote.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton's episodes. You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Like, I hope some cop is like, yo, I'm going to dive into this, because how many whistleblowers keep committing suicide? We have the FBI Haiti chick that died when the Clinton Foundation brought over a whole bunch of children that actually had parents and they wanted their kids back. And this FBI agent hung herself from the doorknob of her hotel room. There's a lot, right? We have the suicides that happened in the Franklinton murders. Not Franklinton murders, the boys on the tracks murders. I get both those confused, but, anybody that was going to testify ends up, you know, committing suicide by slitting their neck and then, driving their motorcycle into the back of a dump truck or whatever it was. So, I think we all know that all of these aren't suicides, right? Mm-hmm. Like Epstein, for instance, one of them's not. Like, what are the odds that all of these high profile people just, you know, decide they don't want to live anymore? I mean, I don't, maybe. What do you guys think in the chats? I don't know. Marines Blood says that they're glad they are treating it as a crime. It is way too suspicious. Yeah, if they are, though, if they are treated as a crime, like sometimes they'll put out a statement like, hey, we're gonna investigate into this, just to get everybody to kind of STFU, if you will.
Yes, yes. And the doorknob, like hanging yourself from a doorknob is a pretty common one. And that's not really an efficient way to kill yourself when there's other methods. So it's a little suspicious to me when you're looking at like slitting your throat. That's like a cinematic thing. Most people don't commit suicide like that. Most people commit suicide by overdose or gunshot. So it's kind of like, what? I don't know. It's probably too hard to stage a self-inflicted gunshot wound, which is why they come up with these methods.
Right. Yeah, because you got to have, you know, you're going to have gunshot residue. You're going to have like the tattooing of the gun, you know, blah, 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 blah. One, you've got to get somebody in a position to where you can shoot them in the face without struggle. I mean, yeah, you're right. There's a lot that can go wrong. I think poisoning's a much easier thing. But then even if you poison them, you know, they can't just die of natural causes. You know what I'm saying? So now you got to hang them to make it look like, oh yeah, this is, crushed trachea or whatever, you know. I mean, what do you guys think in the chat? Are we crazy? Are we just too far down the rabbit hole? You know, you tell us, we'll address you here in a minute. But those are the two suspicious MITAs. Now, listen, I know it's called a suicide. I'm calling it a MITA. I call it like I see it. I just think it's too, you know, you don't spend, because he started that battle in 2015 or 16, I believe. And you don't go 9 years fighting that battle only to testify and then be like, yay, I did it.
Yeah, no.
I don't see it, you know?
That doesn't kinda make like any Vegas. Sense.
Kind of like that whole Vegas shooting thing. There's no motive. What? There's no motive? And you mow down that? You know, one of the most historical, you know, and there's so many questions in all of those. And look, you can call me crazy. Sure. I've looked at the pictures. You know, all those guns laid out on a bed with no carbon footprint, like no carbon stain on the white sheets. Like I couldn't shoot my pistol. You know, I couldn't shoot 8 rounds through my pistol and set it on a white sheet and the white sheet not be covered in black shit. You know what I mean? There's just a lot of weird things. Also, I know that gun was a 240 Bravo. I shot the 240 Bravo my whole life. I mean, not my whole life, but for 13 months of my life, every single day doing test fires and being in actual firefights. So like, I know the sound of a 240 Bravo and that's what I hear coming out of the Vegas shooting. I don't know. There's a lot of weird things going on. This would be one of those. Miss Bosco. Happy birthday to Miss Bosco. Sorry that porn star Sophia Leone died on your birthday. What a tragic, what a very selfish time to be murdered on Miss Bosco's birthday. So
good Lord, the nerve.
Right. And that's, you know, that's porn stars for you. Always thinking about themselves until they're on set and they're thinking about somebody else.
I mean, they put in a lot of work.
It's probably a lot of work. I'm sure. Yeah. You ever tried it?
No.
You ever dabbled?
No, mm-hmm. But I knew a girl. There was a woman that lived in the zone that I worked who was a porn star, and her boyfriend would get into frequent DVs. So I've had some conversations with her about it, and it seems like a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what she says?
That's what she says.
Her fucking, her muscles are just like jacked, ripped. I just feel like
a hard freaking mom.
Like my arms would burn really bad by doing this for a while. You gotta do like two or three sets.
You could stop BJJ if you wanted, if you did porn. Get your workout in.
Oh my God. Well, real quick though, before we do these end reads, if you were gonna do porn, what would be your genre?
Oh boy.
I mean, I feel like the real porn stars that make it, they have like a specialty. Like Mia Khalifa had that whole like Arabic kind of teacher nerd thing going on. Jenna Jameson just had that like thirsty slut thing going on.
Probably,
you know, you got stuff. You got the five black dudes, one chick thing. You got, you know.
Yeah, probably a niche where I don't have to actually interact with them and I just ignore them and they like me being mean to them. And that would be my niche.
Oh, just being mean, just like shame, like shaming them.
Just telling them that they're stupid and then leaving them alone. That's probably what I would do.
Oh, like you get them all worked up. Maybe like, you are so stupid. Of course, I'm not going to touch your penis when you walk out.
No, I just don't want to interact with them that way. So I would pick a genre where I don't have to. I have to do as little as possible.
Did you ever see Eurotrip? Real quick, did you ever see Eurotrip?
I don't think so. No.
Bring out the Frofenugan. And he's like, he had a safe word. And he's like, shuffle, you know. You'd be like that chick. All right, here we go. Let's do a quick ad read, and we're gonna jump into this incredible, incredible true crime story that I know you guys are all dying to see. Honestly, I don't know where I was gonna go with that. I will. Sometimes I do reel it in. Kendra, sometimes I do reel it in. Had a funny joke there and said, you know what? Probably not that appropriate. Back it off a little bit.
Good job.
Yeah, I'm getting better at it. Tonight's show brought to you by ghostbed.com. Because when I lay you down in your bed tonight, baby, I'm going to hold you down, never ever let you go. Sarah Jessica Parker is ugly. One of my favorite albums from, can't remember the name of the band that wrote that song, but it was really great. Speaking of beds, Ghostbed. /Wolfpack, 50% off site wide. Doesn't matter if you're a first responder or supporter of a first responder who's just talking to a paramedic with some heinously bad stories. I'm sure he's having nightmares reliving that every night. And I hope he sleeps on a ghost bed and just kind of lets those memories fade and let ghost bed take care of those memories. These are beds made in the good old USA. Oh, God, you are just as bad at Mike the Cop at that. Mike the Cop was never good at doing that. Anyway, ghostbed.com/Wolfpack. You got the adjustable base. You got those pillows, the cooling sheets, all the accoutrements that come with a good night's sleep. Head over to ghostbed.com/Wolfpack 50. And listen, we told him, we're like, hey, listen, I don't know if you should be giving 50% off site wide. Not everybody listens to our show as first responders. We got a lot of like just supporters. And they were like, literally exact words were like, what? For dude, 50% off. Like, let them all have it. If your show is mainly veterans and first responders, we'll just blanket the whole thing. So right now, 50% off site wide. Got the pillows with the, you know, listen, if it's starting to get hot outside, I love to flip my pillow back and forth. Flip it. Sometimes I hold it over my wife's face and just, I'm just kidding. Sometimes I hold it over my favorite porn star's face. also just kidding. I do love my ghost bed pillow, though. I dream about my favorite porn stars while on my ghost bed pillow.
Okay, cool. That sounds like a good night.
Yeah. Go to ghostbed.com/Wolfpack. Right now, you know, 0% down, 0% financing. And that's if you've got Kendra J. Rama credit.
Oh, it's bad.
After, even after she's spent all of her money on a porn set that she's never going to use. So then we got the my second favorite thing, factormeals.com/wolfpack50, meal planning to the next level, chef prepared fresh, never frozen meals so that you don't have to eat like a peasant, so you don't have to eat like a poor person. You got those bologna sandwiches, your spam and eggs, and your nasty tuna fish stinking up the squad room. You don't have to eat like a fat ASS all the time. You can eat healthy with calorie conscious meal options. They've also got vegan, vegetarian friendly. They've got, what else? They got protein heavy. If you want to get jacked like me, you want to get jacked like me? Protein heavy. Listen, meal planning to the next level. They're delivered right to your door. You microwave them for 2 minutes. They're beautiful. They look good. They look classy. And here's the best part. You don't have to buy Pyrex, Pytex, Rubbermaid dishes. You got to find all the lids. You know, you don't have to drive to the grocery store. I jump on once a week. I plan out all my meals for the week. You want three? You want four? You want seven? Figure it out. They also have the shakes. Oh, I love the shakes. The fruit smoothies. So good. Head over to factormeals.com/Wolfpack. And then we got the wellness company coming out with all your med kits. This is my last ad read. Stick through it, because then we're going to bust into just an amazing story. But here you go. Listen, the wellness company, medical professionals, they got Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, all the guys that have been on Joe Rogan. You know this. Mm-hmm. Stay ahead of the curve. Get your medical emergency kit from the wellness company today. Be ready for your next adventure. This is the adventure travel kit. So, like, you know, you're listen, as a frequent traveler, you know that staying healthy on the go is essential. Whether you're exploring new destinations or simply navigating your daily commute, you need to be prepared for anything. That's where the wellness company's medical emergency kit comes in. The wellness company understands the unique challenges travelers face, from diarrhea to bioterrorism. So you might have the squirts or you might have anthrax. Medical emergency kit is your ultimate travel companion, packed with essential medications like ivermectin, amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and more. It's a peace of mind and a compact. Listen, for me, honestly, the wellness company, the wellness company for me is an end of days type scenario. Grid's going to go down. They already talking about this solar flare that left the sun. And we don't know when it's going to be here, but there's going to be an EMP like moment, an outage. I'm guessing Tanstradamus prediction, this solar flare lands right around end of October, early November. I don't know. Is there something going on in November this year? Is there something going on in 2024 in November?
Not that I can think of. Nothing important, at least.
Yeah, not like an election. So get your ivermectins, get your monoclonal antibodies, get your industrial strength ibuprofens and penicillins. And whoa, Freudian slip there. Thinking about Sophia Leone too much. Penicillin. Get all those things. Head over to the wellness company. Use the promo code Wolfpack for 10% off. Listen, this is big deal shit. I'm not even joking. Wellness company is involved in everything right now, really combating big pharma too, in a weird way. Basically globalists. They're combating globalists, which are simps. Anyway, be ahead of the curve. All right, you guys ready for this exciting case?
Let's do it.
Josh, in the show notes for this, before it goes to audio or get up with John, mark down 28:30 is when the show actually starts. That way people don't be like, well, I tuned in to hear this great story and they didn't play. Like, we can be like, bitch, we told you. You know, we told you. What are you drinking right now?
I'm drinking a Merlot. It's a Chilean Merlot.
It's really good. It's probably very inexpensive, but it's really fun. By the way, Chilean Merlot was often confused with Carmenere. Carmenere was confused with Merlot. It's kind of like their version. So even if you see like a Chilean Carmenere, or the simple spelling is Carmenere, you know, that's what like a redneck would say. Hey man, you got me that Carmenere. basically, even very similar to Merlot. But by the way, guys, if you didn't know, I am a sommelier and a certified specialist of wine. So I'm not just throwing out useless wine facts here. I'm actually a pretty smart wine guy when it comes to shipping. All right, so here we go. We got this case. This is a serious case. And as if anything else I haven't talked about is very serious, but this one is. You don't, do you have kids?
Jayla? I don't have kids of my own, no. I have a little brother who's 7, though, and he's very, very important to me. I know it's not the same as children, but.
Yeah, I mean, you get it. You know, I didn't know what love was until I had my first child. I'll be very, very honest about that. I thought I loved my mom, right? Thought I loved my dad. I loved my dog. My dog was cool. I love my brother. I'll die for my brother. I love my brother. You know, guys I served with in the military, my squad mates, right? Love those guys. Those are my brothers. I love them. You know, I threw the word around love a lot until my firstborn child was born and I saw the magic happen before my eyes. And when I held this kid in my arms, my son, Duke, I was overwhelmed in a way I've never felt before. And I knew in that moment when he was in my arms that this is true love. This is, I would do anything. I will do anything for this child. I didn't think about doing this, but when they wanted to take him to have him snipped and all these other things, I demanded I go with them. I will not lay my eyes off of this child. I went 4 or 5 hours where I sat away from my wife in the waiting area, staring at him through a window. And I never left. And there was no chair there. And I just stayed there. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't look around. I had no peripheral vision. I was consumed by my love for this child. And I knew in that moment forever, nothing. I would never allow this child to be harmed either by me and my parenting techniques or be harmed by anybody else. So I will watch this child and I will raise him in such a way that in no way will I hurt him. And I loved him. And then you think to yourself, well, I can never love anything else more than this. I love him more than my wife. I love them more than my parents. I love this child. And then my wife gets pregnant again, very shortly after. And I remember having the conversation, like, how am I going to love somebody else as much as I love my firstborn child? And it's crazy. You get this second child and your heart just gets a little bit bigger and you fall even more in love with another child that you it's the same thing over and over again. I've done this 5 times. And I think it's crazy. People are like, oh my God, 5 kids. How do you have 5? I can barely put up with 2 kids. And I don't understand that mindset. It's one of the very few things I'm actually offended by because I could have 10. I could have 11, and my wife feels the same way. My wife, we love our children. We homeschool them. We're with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We love our children in a very healthy way. And when I came across this story, it became real to me. It came serious to me because I said, well, what? I don't know. I don't know. How would I react to this situation? Now, this happened in January of 2015, so very not that long ago, and this father, and the names in this story are going to be very confusing. Very yeah. Confusing names. As often as true crime goes, you know, that keeping up with the names, we're going to have a George the Second, and we're going to have a George Junior the Third.
Yes.
Super two and three. Confusing. So we have George and George, which, you know, this is George Pinkerton is this guy's name. George Pickering. I'm so sorry. I pulled a Biden there. Lincoln Riley. No, this is George Pickering. I'm a big fan of George the second and the third, to be honest with you. But George Pickering the second.
Are you still there, Kendra?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm not sure what happened. We lost Eric.
Are we back? Am I back?
Oh, wait. No, there he is.
That was crazy. My whole computer just went black and it said connection. Okay. So anyway, we're back. Somebody edit that out. Just kidding.
Well, we got your voice back. We don't have a video feed yet.
Really? You don't have a video feed back?
No, you're frozen on my screen.
Oh my gosh. Am I frozen on your screen too, Kendra?
Yeah, the Biden's got you.
I should have
made fun of
him.
I talked about Boeing.
You've done it now.
I shouldn't have said Lincoln Riley. all right. Well, hopefully you guys can just hear me and listen for a second.
We can hear you good. Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. In the chats, can you guys hear me in the chats? Somebody in the chats say yes. Oh, I hear no seat. Good job. Grab ass 10. Thank you for that. Well, you don't need to fucking see me move around. Let's get back into it. So George Pickering, has a son, George Pickering the Third, and George the Third suffers from seizures. he has a problem with some seizures. And they're pretty bad. They're pretty bad. And on this particular day, the son has one of these seizures, and he goes into kind of a vegetative state. And I'm not being an asshole. The hospital even calls it that. So he goes to Tomball Regional Medical Center in Tomball, Texas. So when they get there, very quickly they say he's brain dead. And they call the mother and they call the brother and everybody. The doctors say he's brain dead. He's in a vegetative state. Everything that we're doing is keeping him alive. And he's an organ donor. If we're going to harvest these organs, now's the time to do it. He's mm-hmm. not coming back. And so the family has a meeting, and the dad doesn't get to really have a voice in this meeting. George is unheard, and everybody kind of agrees it's time to let his son go. Now, his son's very young. He's only in his 20s. And so the dad says, "Why are we rushing now? I had an aunt who I love very close, and she had a very young daughter at the time, and she overdosed. And I didn't want to say too much because she's just my aunt, but my grandmother, I'm not a big fan of, was you know, the doctors were like, well, we're going to pull the plug. And I was like, she's breathing. She squeezed my hand a few times. She cracked a smile when I told her I was putting a scrunchie in her hair that she would absolutely hate. And she smiled. She was like, argh. You know, and we thought that was cute. But then hours later, they're talking about pulling the plug. And my grandmother was like, yeah, pull it. But my grandmother is that kind of person anyway. I don't think she really liked my aunt to begin with. I think she was more embarrassed by my aunt than anything. I don't know. I don't want to speak on my aunt, my grandmother's behalf. Me and my grandmother never really got along. We did as a child, not as an adult. I don't want to let that interfere with this. It's not about her. It's her daughter, right? It's her daughter. I don't know. Right. I wouldn't do it for my daughter. Wouldn't have been me. But hey, listen. It's her shit. But I thought in that moment, wow. And I pulled my cousin aside and I said, hey, this is your mother. I don't know if I should push back or not. And it was very awkward. Long story short, my grandmother got her way and they pulled the plug. And I thought it was far too soon to pull the plug. But they pulled the plug. So I can see how it happens. And the doctors really weren't going to, they really didn't like me. And I was trying to be, you know, I was a cop at the time and I was trying to be very not cop-like. I wanted to be like, this is none of my business. I'm not going to jump into this. So, you know, family take care of it. But I slept in her room for about 4 or 5 days. I stayed with my cousin, you know, and I just tried to be hands off. And only towards the end that I was like, hey, have we thought about this for a second? I mean, she was just smile. I just made a joke and she kind of cracked a smile and she squeezed my hand a few times. And I've made some very inappropriate jokes that have made her kind of move. Because everybody in the family knows, and especially my aunt appreciates, she was one of the very few people who appreciated my very dark sense of humor. And the doctors immediately were kind of like, where are you here? What are you doing? And I didn't even push. I was just like, it was a simple one-time question. Like, hey, should somebody know that she has smiled at me and she has squeezed my fingers? Does that make any difference? And they were like, excuse me, who are you? And the mood changed. And I was kind of like, it's almost like the vaccine in 2020 where it was like, everybody needs to get a vaccine. We all need to do a part. And you're like, okay. And then they're like, get your vaccine right now. We'll give you a free hamburger and some French fries. And you're like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, hold on. You know? And then they just, it became very weird, right? And then I think most of the country was like, maybe I don't want this vaccine because it seems very, you know, it's like when you're like, knock, knock,
so hard?
Knock, 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 Kendra, knock, knock. And you're like, who's there? You know what I mean? I felt like one of those, you know?
Yes.
So I can empathize ish with this father who thinks it's kind of going, it's escalating very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's escalating very quickly. Now, me as a law enforcement officer, since how many, you're a law enforcement officer, how many times has that person been capped or plugged 4 or 5 times with some bullets, blood rushing out like a garden hose, and you're like, yep, that dude's dead, and you kind of even write your report as if they're dead, and then they're like, oh, they're actually...
they're fine.
they're giving a statement to the detectives, and you're like, I need to get that port rejected so I can... make some corrections, because I kind of wrote this up as a MITA. Right? Have you been there? You know, you've been in that car accident where the person's face is just completely gone and crushed, and you're like, that dude's dead. And then, you know, 4 months later, you get that little email like, thank you for saving my life. And you're like, wait, what? You're alive? And there's a quality of life? Holy shit. You know, so knowing that and being in this guy's situation, I too would kind of be like, not very quick. I don't care if they're an organ donor. I don't want them to, like, let's wait to fuck those organs. Like,
Cause they were calling centers before he was even passed away, letting them know, hey, we got organs incoming.
And I think that, like, Alex Jones is onto something here, where that's where all the money in these hospitals are made. I mean, they're getting $300,000. I mean, more than that for some of these organs. So, you know, very, very strange how the hospitals have worked in the last 20 years. It's been very different, right? Like prescribing people medication that know that if you lose weight or if you adopt a different lifestyle, then you can overcome this. But instead, we're going to give you prescriptions that are going to crush your insides and kill you in 10 years and not tell you anything about, like, the natural remedy. So, you know, I understand why there's a lot of people upset and why George Pickering in this particular case isn't happy about it. So this father is learning that everybody is siding with the doctors. And I experienced this, you know, it was like my cousin was like, well, I mean, they say it's too late and I don't want, you know, because they word it in such a way is like, you're doing them a favor. I'm telling you right now, Failure Stop Wolfpack, you let me hang on until, like, there's no chance. Like, you guys give me, like, I'm not a fucking quitter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, make sure that there's no way I'm coming back before you pull that plug. Use your best judgment. I'm not going to hate you in the afterlife, but don't be pulling the plug super quick. I'm actually, because of this case, like, wanting to make some kind of a will for myself, because I am an organ donor and everything, to say, like, I'm an organ donor, but not, like, to the extent of, like, I want you to kill me quicker than I deserve. So anyway, yes, father, well. Right? Now, I like the articles on this. If you read every single article, they love to talk about how George Pickering was drunk.
Yep.
He was drunk when this happens. Now, you just find out that the love of your life, and a love that I've tried to explain to you earlier, is going to be taken away from you, and nobody will side with you. I'm going to pound a few. I'm going to pound more than a few. This is going to be very bad for me. I'm not even that much of a heavier drinker or anything like that. Daddy's getting a bottle of JMO, and I'm going to some dark places in this moment. Like, I'm sorry, Lord forgive me, but I can't fathom losing one of my children, and I have 5. I don't mind that he got drunk. So Daddy gets drunk. George II gets drunk. He shows back up to the hospital with a gun. He pulls a gun out and he's like, I've got a gun. Georgie's got a gun. Witness accounts to this, according to the witnesses, Pickering yelled, I'll kill all of you. And I don't doubt that he said that. I think I would have said, what do you think in the chats? What do you guys think I would have said? Somebody knows it. Somebody knows what Big Tansy would say. You know
what
I would
say. Giddy up.
I'll give you 30 seconds to come up. Whoever gets it, gets a prize. You know what I'd say. I would say, I'm about to end your fucking bloodlines. So he says, I'll kill you. And then the son, the second son, wrestles the gun out of George's hand. He fights Daddy for the gun. Of course, Dad's not going to shoot any of his family members. He takes the gun, but Dad yells, you think that's my only gun? And he locks himself in the room and pulls the curtain shut. All right, Airsoft Speedy said he was in the middle of typing it. I'll give it to you, Airsoft Speedy. Airsoft Speedy wins. Wait, is Airsoft Speedy, are you, is your first name Jay? Last name Ryger, by chance?
Dox yourself immediately.
I think I know who that is. I think I've made fun of him for being an airsoft guy before. he pulls the curtains. Yes, Ryger. Yep, I knew it was him. And the SWAT team is called. And there's a standoff. Standoff in Texas. A real, real standoff. Now, here's a quote from Pickering. I knew if I had 3 or 4 hours that night, I would know whether George was brain dead or not. I had blinders on. All I knew, I just needed to have this time with George. This is coming from Fox News. When Pickering showed up at the hospital with a gun, he was disarmed by his son, and he then lied about having a second gun. I was in the Boy Scouts. You think I only have one gun? And I love that because if you were a younger Boy Scout, Ryger, I think you might have been a Boy Scout. You seem the type. You know that one of my favorite quotes that I learned from a Boy Scout guy was, you never bring just one condom to an orgy. Two is one, one is none. You always have two of everything or you have none of it, right? That's a Boy Scout thing. Never bring one condom to an orgy.
We learned the same thing in training where if there's one, there's two. You just know that. Yeah.
You know that. So Pickering says, I was a Boy Scout. You think I only have one gun? SWAT officers negotiated with Pickering for hours. And he says during the standoff that he got the signs from his son that he was hoping to see. George squeezed my hand 3 times on command. And then George did it 4 times on command. George, I need you to be awake. George, if you're awake, this is it. Daddy's in some shit. You got to, they're going to fucking kill you, homie. Squeeze my hand 3 times right now. You got to do it. 1, 2, 3. Fuck. Oh my God. Okay. Do it 4 times. Right. Well, I mean, I'm not, this isn't a quote. I'm reliving this for him as if it was my child. And then you imagine the excitement. Hey, he squeezed my hand. He's alive. He squeezed my hand. And he yells out to the SWAT team, guys, come on. He's squeezing my hand. He surrendered without incident. And George now own a electrical engineering company together. Mm-hmm. Best of friends, daddy and son. And this story gets even crazier because George is going to go back to jail. That's right. I said back to jail. So George, it was a law broken. It was broken for all the right reasons. This is coming from his son, George II. I'm here now because of it, said Pickerson's son. It was love. It's the duty of a parent to protect your child. And that's all he did. Everything's good. Everything good that made me a man is because of him, of the man sitting next to me. One charge was filed against Pickering. It was eventually dismissed, but he did 11 months in jail. The other charges were lessened. He had one charge filed against him that was dismissed, and then he had a couple that were lessened, and he was given credit for time served. But that's not where this story ends. So he goes to jail. I think he does 11 months, something like that. Mm-hmm. This is from the hospital. Physicians use their medical knowledge and experience to develop a patient's plan of care. And these actions save lives each day. When a patient's condition makes them unable to participate in their own care, the appropriate substitute decision maker has the right to decide whether or not they will move forward with a recommended care plan. However, that decision must be expressed in a way that does not endanger other patients or caregivers. I'll tell you right now, if my son is in a coma and I feel like the best thing for him is to keep him going, I will never make a decision selfishly for my kid. I will never do it. Matter of fact, sometimes when my son asks me simple things like, can I go into the woods right now Can I go to the woods? He loves going to the woods. There's things. He's got traps out there for squirrels. He's got a whole thing out there. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. Maybe it's raining. Maybe it's cold. Maybe we're going somewhere in 30 minutes. But I always, before I look him dead in the eye, I do this all the time. And I say, what answer will make him a better human right now? What lesson needs to be learned? Or what am I doing selfishly? Selfishly, I don't want you to go out there because I don't want to have to call you back in. And I don't want to have to watch you change clothes because then I'll have to wash those dirty, muddy clothes. And then I'm going to have to mop the floor. That's a selfish act. And then I'll say, no, it'll be better for him if he goes out for the next hour and a half. He does it. It's an hour and a half. I can't make him sit inside for an hour and a half. Every decision I make for my children's best future. And if I tell you, or if I think that keeping him alive is the best for him, it's the best for him.
Yes.
I get that opportunity. He's my child. It's not the public school system's job to make those decisions. It's not the hospital's job to make that decision. It's mine and my wife's decision and God, you know, because that's who we're accountable to. But I'll never make a decision for my child that I don't think is in his best interest.
Yeah, I would like to know. It doesn't matter. But I was just curious when I was looking into this, who was the power of attorney and the person making this decision? Because if it was just the hospital recommending it and there was no power, I mean,
that kind of comes into play. The wife and the brother were like, yeah, this is what we want to do.
That's rough.
But here's the thing is, like, when these doctors say, and maybe they're right more times than they're not. I'm not trying to shit on the doctors, but you know, I was there. I lived this. And they were so convincing, and they didn't allow anybody that disagreed with me to even be a part of the conversation. So it was just their word. Hey, they're not coming back. Mm-hmm. We've seen this. The chances are like 2%. Right now they're in a lot of pain. We can only keep, you know, and their heart can't keep up with this medication. And even if they do come back, neurologically, they've been gone so long that, you know, it's going to be such a long, you know, they paint it just in this way of like, you know, but for me, I'm like, there's a long road to recovery if they come back. So you're saying that they could come back? Like, I'm willing to go down that road. Let's go. Pack our bags. Let's go down this road. I'll fucking do anything. You know what I'm saying? I will sell my house, my home, and everything. I'll move into the parking garage of this hospital and rehabilitate this kid back to life. Like, I'll go that distance. So, you know, I understand here. So he goes to jail for 11 months on lesser charges, and he gets released back to his family. And when he gets back to the family, dad wants to get baptized with his son. Man, that's fucking cool. Mm-hmm. You know, you just go through this thing where he said that in that moment he was praying. You know, he was crying out to God, give me a sign, you know, and then they got that sign. I would quit every sin that I'm doing if that happened to me. Please don't let that happen to me. Like, listen, you can just tell me in a dream, you know, I don't need this, but
right.
I understand and empathize why the dad wants to go and get baptized immediately. I want to get baptized immediately. Why would you wait? If he could have another seizure, if this could happen again, and you're a man of faith, there is no time to wait. And I don't give a fuck if you're an atheist. I don't give a fuck if this isn't what you believe. If this man has that conviction, if the God Almighty of one, I don't see how you could be an atheist and believe in nothing. There's got to be a higher creator. That just has to be. But you know, you can't. If there is a higher power that calls out to this man, he has every right to hold on to it, whatever it is.
Yeah, and he knew his son. This is not like the first time that he's been through this with George the Third either.
Right.
You know, he's had
the worst it's been.
Right. But he's been through this before, and when he says, I would know if my son was brain dead. I mean, we talk about mother's intuition all the time, and we're supposed to respect that and cherish it, and we should, but a father's love is greater than most love. I mean, that's kind of, we should trust their intuition too. And if he's been through this before, I don't see why he wasn't included in the conversation. You know, I don't understand that at all.
I never thought of it, but like it makes sense. And I don't want anybody to be like super offended here. Maybe this is a moment for a reel. But you've never heard of a father having postpartum depression. You know, there's a reason why fathers don't get postpartum depression. Maybe it's because naturally they're supposed to be there and be the leader of a family. And they're supposed to get their families through things. Because postpartum depression is real. Like women go through that. Your hormones are changing crazy. But maybe there's a reason why guys don't get some kind of weird hormonal. I mean, they don't get it because they don't have a baby inside of them. But, you know,
yeah,
you know, by design or by science, you know, it makes sense. And so, yeah, there should be, you know, and that's been my whole argument for abortion is that the man has no right, like no right to a kid that you guys both mutually, you know, made love together. Right. You know, it's I think the father should have some rights there. Or at least people should think of it, or, you know, I don't under my body, my choice. Well, yeah, but I mean, you guys chose to fuck each other and you chose to do it without a condom like that. What, you know, I mean, in a lot of cases, maybe the guy, you know, forced that on him. But I mean, my wife here now when we were dating, I mean, she never let me wear a condom and I wanted to, you know.
I don't mind saying this. I'm very pro-life, so you don't have to worry about offending me with that. I'm with you all the way on that one.
Yeah. And so, you know, for this, the father, you know, wants to get baptized with his son and full power to him. And so they go to this church and they get baptized. However, there was a no contact order by the judge that he was to have no contact with his son. So you've got a guy who just went fucking distance, who said, I'll go to jail the rest of my fucking life. I'll hold the whole goddamn hospital hostage.
Yeah, you know, think I'm not going to contact my son?
You think that there's going to be a no contact order? You're crazy, homie. We're going to church and getting baptized. He was arrested again. He's back in jail. I'll read this. This is coming from ABC 13. The man who allegedly held police at bay during a standoff at the Tumble Hospital in Texas while his son was dying is once again behind bars. George Pickering walked into the Harris County Courthouse Friday. He said he knew he could end up back in jail, but he would do it. He would do what he has to do all over again. He has been out on bond since his arrest in January after a four-hour standoff at the Tumball Regional Hospital. His adult son had what he described as a serious seizure and stroke and was on life support. Doctors wanted to pull the plug. If I'm guilty of anything, it's because I loved him too much, he said. Investigators said that Pickering waved a gun at a nurse and his family, ordering them all out. And though one of his sons wrestled the gun away, he threatened that he might have another one. And the police were called in. And Pickering said as they watched that he leaned over his comatose son and prayed. He said his son responded by squeezing his hand. I believe, and I'll always believe, that there was a miracle that took place that night, Pickering said. Pickering surrendered peacefully, his son recovering, and is now out of the hospital. And in fact, the two were baptized on Easter Sunday. Pickering is in trouble again because he violated a no contact order. He was put in place by the judge. It was put in place by the judge following the standoff, keeping Pickering from seeing his son. Pickering doesn't understand that order. Prosecutors would not explain. For now, he remains behind bars awaiting trial on aggravated assault charges stemming from the standoff. He's not in jail anymore. And I think those charges were dropped. But what a silly, silly rule to be put on there. Now, I want to be full transparent before I agree to do this podcast with you guys. I read this story about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I was in tears. And my wife called me and she said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I just read this crazy story. I didn't tell her what the story was. I had a conversation with my wife before the show tonight, though. And I mentioned George Pickering and she knew exactly who he was. And I was like, whoa, shit. But in that moment, I'm not letting anybody see me cry. It's just not going to fucking happen. I've only cried like once in public. And that was after I took my wife to see Passion of the Christ and then made love to her in the back of my mom's Jeep.
Very romantic of you.
I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. I've never cried.
The other things happened though. I just didn't cry.
I mean, there was two options that night. It was the vampire movie that was out, the romance vampire movie, Twilight. And
God,
wasn't gonna go see that. Not on a first date. We'll go see Passion of the Christ. I took it to Chili's birth. Fans know the story.
I love that. That's hilarious.
But what do you guys take on that? You know, we'll post a reel about this story on Instagram. I'd love to hear some of you guys shout out or hear you guys' thoughts on this. How far are you willing to go? And are we so detached? Is there still that same kind of love for your children? Are we all just detached from our children where we would allow the doctor's intuition over our own intuition? I see it happening in the schools a lot. People, I talked to a family not too long ago, and the daughter was saying some crazy shit to me, and the parents didn't interrupt her for one second. And I thought to myself, your daughter is like super young and she's arguing about something that like she has no business even thinking about at this age. She's in the fourth grade. We allow the intuition of teachers. We allow the intuition of dog owners, right? Nothing frustrates me more than somebody says, I don't have kids, but I have two dogs. You can't put your kids in a fucking crate for 8 hours. So I don't want to hear about it. Are we past that? Would you do the same thing? How far are you willing to go for your kid's life? And now listen, now take it, now ask yourself this. How far are you willing to go to make sure that the future of your child is a healthy future? And there's a lot of hard decisions that have to be made, and it's not about pulling a gun on anybody, but maybe it's taking away social media privileges. Maybe it's monitoring your child's emotional behaviors and figuring out what's causing them and doing away with it. Maybe it's allowing your kid too many movies or too much screen time, and it's going to ruin their future. I think a lot of the anxieties and the ADHDs that are in modern children right now are not because of a children's mental illness, but because of parental illness. Because the family members get divorced and spend more time hunting a new loved one that they forget about the loved one that they created. And it's sad, but I've seen it so many times. And if you're mad about this right now, if you're mad about it, then you're probably guilty of it. If you're like, ah, that ain't me. I'm 100% in on my cat. I know it. Then good on you. But if you're upset about me saying that, it's probably because you are detached from your kid. If your kid has a tail and ears and is over the age of 7, they're wanting attention that they're not getting from you. And maybe the attention that you're giving them isn't the correct attention. Would the attention, I give them whatever they want. I take them to the movies. I never say no. Maybe they need you to say no. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you how to parent. But I'm saying is, how far are you willing to go to make sure that your child's future is sustained and sustainable? And in this fact, I love this story. I think that's why I got so emotional when I read it 3 weeks ago, because I said to myself, what if somebody wanted to pull the sun? And I had an inkling. I had this intuition inside of me. How far am I willing to go? You know, we saw John Q. I didn't see it as a kid. I refuse to watch it now that I have kids. I mean, we saw it as kids, but we never saw it when we had kids. I refuse to watch it now that I have kids. I don't want to go to that dark spot, but you know, it's a good movie. I would cry in front of my whole family. I'm not doing that. way too much of a toxic white man to be doing that.
Oh, sure.
I don't want to go there. I don't want to think about it. There's lots of things I don't want to think about when it comes to my kids, because I just want absolutely the best for them. And I never want them to be put in a position of a school shooter or a rapist or a diddler, or in this case, you know, Dr. Kevorkian. that just wants $300,000 for a good, fresh heart. I got a strong heart. If you don't take this heart, you're making a fetal mistake. You know, a futile mistake. do you remember there was a South Park episode where they were selling stem cells? And Eric Cartman's like, man, we could make so much money selling these. Like, and he starts brokering like body parts of children. And he's like, I got a good fetus for you. You're making a fetal mistake. It's hilarious. But you know, it's all true. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's story. I appreciate you guys all being in the chats. One more shout out really quick. I'm going to read a couple of these messages. Diesel Tech says those muscle relaxers are kicking in. Good night. Good night, sir. Kiss your kids. Good night. Kiss them on the forehead. You never know when they're going to go, and they grow up so fast. So, my human children identify as dogs. So I have both. Perfect. Michael Hendrick says, if I can get the Woods shuttle service up and running, we will need to get some good drivers. I don't know what that means. It's probably an inside joke. I'm pro children lives, but not very pro adult lives. I think we should have late term abortions, but like you should wait until they're like 18. If they haven't made it by 25, you know, that's when we can abort them. Like as soon as they get that nose ring that's right here. A little cow's hoop.
Septum.
Fucking time to go. Put him down. Let him go. Let him go. Mike Dutcher says, did you see in Minnesota there was a mom staying in a hotel and decided to drown her infant son because she could not take a bath in peace since he was crying? I actually went to a police call where a woman killed her baby by throwing it into the ceiling of the hotel. It didn't work, but there was bloody holes in the ceiling where she was tossing the baby up and down. And so she muddled Corona bottles, glass, like she broke some Corona bottles, muddled the glass, put it in the bottle and had the child drink the bottle. So the baby choked on its own blood, essentially. Very sad case, but again, postpartum, you know, and that's here we go. If you want me to preach for 1 second, that's why fathers are important, because the fathers aren't going through postpartum depression, and a good father that's there can not only take care of the mother, but can save the child's life. The problem with a lot of these cases, where the moms are murdering thing, there is no dad present, or the dad sleeping around, cheating, you know, kind of a Casey Anthony situation, you know, where the father's not a really good father, you know, and then that allows, you know, the babies to be killed. There's no real man. You know, Casey Anthony didn't know who the father of Kaylee Anthony was. You know, that's why fathers are important. That's why, you know, this whole genre of women just sleeping around freely, like, it's not healthy. It's not safe. Well, I'm not here to slut shame or call you any names, but like medically, scientifically, society, like societally, that's a word. It's not healthy. It's not a good, it's not good. We don't want to have more children raised like this. You know, there is a time where you have to stop being selfish. You have to start becoming an adult. You know, I think that's something that we forget to tell a lot of people, that you have to grow up. You have to fucking grow up and be productive in society, and put people in society that are going to be productive. And if you're a parent, you know, that should be your job, not CrossFit, not Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You know, it's fine to do those things, but you can't be the guy that's sacrificing that very valuable side because you want to be what? Like, you think you're going to be an Olympian at 35 years old? Your time's gone. Start investing back into your children. If you're golfing more than you're hanging out with your kids, if you think that your kids want to go to the brewery every fucking weekend and play on an iPad and have sidewalk chalk, you're a fucking terrible parent. You're a terrible parent. Your kid doesn't want to go to the brewery with you. They have museums, though. Those are fucking dope. They got laser tag arenas. They got libraries. They got hiking trails. They got camping trails. They got all sorts of shit. But if you think that going to a different brewery every weekend with your toddler, your child, and they're not even going to remember this, is only 3 years old. You're literally paving a path, a very destructive path. Mommy and daddy are having me time, which you had at poker night on Wednesday, golf when you got out half a day early on Tuesday, and your wife had wine night on Sunday with her girlfriends. You know what I mean? How much me time do you fucking need? I see this all the time. You know,
I think people are centric now. And I think a lot of people that are married and have kids just do it because they're like complacent, and they feel like that's just the next step. And they're not like in your position where you and your wife are like best friends and you have five kids that you're absolutely in love with. Right. I think a lot of people are just going with going through the motions of being an adult, but they don't even understand what it means to be an adult, because we're just so worried about ourselves now. It's like a sickness. Right. It's, weird. Yeah,
parental illness. I call it parental illness. I've termed that down. I'm the only one that's ever used it. I use it a lot on social media. If you see it along, make sure you tag me. Give me full credit. It's all about me in this world. It's all about me. Kendra, thank you for asking me to come on and tell a story. True crime's always been something I've loved to do. I love to tell stories. And this was a fun story.
I love stories like this where people get like, it reminds us that we are still human beings, right? Like same with the Marvin Heemeyer story. He was pushed to a point. And if you have to, sometimes we have to keep ourselves in check and remind our fellow humans that there's only so much that we can and should take. And then sometimes drastic measures need to be taken. And when you're messing with somebody's kid.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to start welding plates on the bulldozer.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. And every day I get like, I more and more identify.
With same.
Like, I'm like, man, he wasn't that crazy.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you.
He says for Marv, right? You know? So, hey, thank you guys, man. We'll see John's back next week, guys. Everybody was in the live chat. Tomorrow's going to be banger bonkers. We were working on this an hour before the show. Tomorrow we've got that. We were going to really deep dive into this. I'm calling it a Boeing assassination. I don't know. Maybe it's not. I got some question marks. We've also got another whistleblower that's blowing the whistle on the Biden administration right now. This guy is next on the list to be suicided for sure. So I want to get it out. I want to get this story out tomorrow so that when he is suicided here in the next coming weeks, we know about it too soon. And there's just some other crazy things going on in the news that we have to cover. So tomorrow and then Thursday, John is back with the Ray Lewis murder NFL cover-up. This is going to be bombshell. I'm so glad he's covering it. It's absolutely not going to do well on YouTube because YouTube does not like our type of content. We'll put it out there anyway. You know, for all you audio listeners, go give us a 5-star rating and review right now. You have to do it. It's what keeps this show alive because YouTube sucks. They hate us. Go to Rumble, do the Rumble thing. And of course our Patreon, $3 a month. It's less than a cup of coffee. It really supports us. We put lots of extra content. Actually, Jay Rama got a raise. So she's been making a little bit more money in the last 2 months because of Patreon. And that's because of you guys. So if you love Kendra and you want to see her OnlyFans, subscribe to our Patreon for $3 a month. And then will give you, just kidding.
My OnlyFans is just me eating Zapp's chips, fully clothed, staring into the camera awkwardly.
I feel like I would subscribe to that. Jack Mandeville, one of my favorite comedians from the Black Rifle Coffee song, he does lives every once in a while, maybe 1-3 times a year. He'll do a live where he is eating like Chinese food or something like out. And he just sets his phone up and he just eats. And he doesn't respond to you. He doesn't look at you. He just.
I love that. That's funny.
Around. I'll watch the whole fucking thing. I'll watch it for 45 minutes. I don't know what it is. The weirder, the more I want to be involved in it.
Same.
I'm a weird guy. So if you had an OnlyFans where you're eating Zap chips, I would tell my wife first. I'd be like, hey, listen, you're going to see a $3 subscription OnlyFans. She's not naked. She's not even showing cleavage. She's eating Zach's chips. You can watch it with me. I'm not jerking off to it. Not even hard. But God damn it, I can't get enough. Like last week she had the zinger Zach's bombshell. Like it was all over her face. It was so cool. Loved it.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see y'all later this week. Lots of stuff going up. We really appreciate it. We got more on that. I'll release tomorrow the meetup date in May. So there is a meetup in May in Florida. The date tomorrow to the people. And you guys can see that tomorrow. So join us tomorrow, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Failure Style Podcast channel for myself, Kendra J. Rama. Guns up. Giddy up. Take us out, Josh.